Gas prices are sky high right now, but it may not matter if you can't afford to buy a car. Hi, I'm Rob West. Taking the bus is becoming more attractive these days as prices for new and used cars have hit record highs. I'll talk about that today and how you can make the best of an expensive car purchase. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so just how bad are car prices these days? Well, one way to tell is by the average monthly payments you now have to make to buy a vehicle. A new report by Cox Automotive and Moody's Analytics shows that monthly payments for new cars are now averaging $712 a month. And that's a median of over 41 weeks of income that's now needed for the average new car purchase. The latest data from the Consumer Price Index shows that new car prices jumped 12.6% in the last year. That and rising interest rates continue to drive monthly payments to record highs. Kelley Blue Book is reporting that the average new car price in May was just over $47,000. Incredibly, price hikes are even worse for used car prices. They've gone up more than 16% since last year. In addition to higher interest rates, another factor driving payments higher is the continued shortage of computer chips required in today's vehicles. Analysts are predicting that the chip shortage probably won't get worse, but then again, it's not likely to get any better in the months ahead. The bottom line, analysts say, is that the rapid rise in prices for new and used cars is likely to tail off, but due to continued tight inventory, they're not expected to decline for the rest of 2022. So what can you do about it? Well, obviously, if you can afford to wait to buy either a new or used car, do it. In a year, things may look different, but they're not likely to be much worse. But if you need a vehicle, first, make sure you have a hefty down payment. Ideally, you want to save enough after paying off a car loan to make an even bigger down payment. If you keep doing that, you'll be able to pay cash and not finance the vehicle at all. You'll save a trunkload of interest costs. Now, if you're buying a new vehicle, there are certain fees that you may be able to negotiate your way out of, so look for these on the window sticker. First is the advertising fee. The dealer may insist on charging you for it, but it should be listed on the vehicle in plain view. If they spring it on you when you're signing papers, do your best to have it taken out. Here's another one to look for, something called a dealer preparation charge. Theoretically, it would cover prepping the vehicle for display on the lot and finalizing the sale, but this cost should be included in the retail price of the car, not an added fee. Next, you might see a fabric protection fee. Ask to have that one taken off. If you're worried about staining the upholstery, just buy a few cans of Scotchgard and do it yourself. It will be a lot cheaper. Another fee you should try to avoid paying for is paint protection. This is a urethane film put on the car, but you shouldn't need it. Any rust that appears would be covered by the warranty. Instead of this protection, just ask for wax when you go through the car wash. Now, this next one was actually the theme of a popular sitcom, where all the characters, including the salesman, admitted that they didn't even know what it was. Undercoating. It could cost you hundreds of dollars, but most cars manufactured after 2006 are made with galvanized metal underneath that greatly reduces the likelihood of rust. One more fee you shouldn't pay when buying a new car, vehicle identification number etching. It's true that this would make it more difficult for thieves to resell your car if it's stolen, but you can do it yourself or take it to an auto repair shop and have it done much cheaper than the dealer would charge. Now, some tips on buying a used car? Well, assuming you already know the vehicle or vehicles that would work best for you, go online to Kelley Blue Book or Edmunds.com. You can plug in a vehicle's year, make, model, and mileage to get an idea of what you should expect to pay. To find potential used vehicles, obviously you can check your local paper and dealerships, but you can also go online and check Auto Trader, Craigslist, AutoList, and CarMax. Once you find a vehicle you like and you've settled on a price, make that contingent on the car passing inspection. Take it to a trusted independent mechanic for a thorough going over. And then also check the vehicle history at Carfax and AutoCheck. It may have been involved in an accident, and we'll put the links of all of those sites I mentioned in today's show notes. So that's what's happening with new and used car prices and what you need to do about it. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
I refer to your part-time job as what you do outside of your home, outside of your family, to generate an income for your family. Your full-time job is what you do within your family. We're on the go consistently, people are hustling, trying to get it. And I just want to remind everybody to whoa, pump the brakes. Make sure that we are not neglecting our families in the process.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Show up at your full-time job, ready to work.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
I just have a hard time believing that many Hispanics who are very family-oriented and oriented towards traditional values want men, young men, declaring themselves to be women, going into restrooms and locker rooms and changing areas with their daughters.
I would dare say that they're more conservative on those issues than white people.
Yes.
In general.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. I'd love to speak to you. You know, sometimes folks say, well, I'm not sure I want to be on the radio. Well, here's the thing. It's just you and me. I'd love to have a chat. And here's what you can be assured of is that somebody will identify with the situation you're in and allow you to benefit them as they learn about what's going on in your life, but also can apply the principles to their own. We can put you on anonymously and our team will get you on right away. 800-525-7000. No matter your financial question today, we'd love to hear from you. We started today by talking about what's going on in the car market. Yep, the average car payment now at $712 a month. Unfortunately, the numbers are probably going to continue to climb. Chip shortages continue. We still have supply constraint issues. And what's perhaps going to make things even a bit more difficult is we're about to experience the shutdown of the nation's largest aluminum smelting factory in June. And that plus increases in energy costs could mean even higher car prices in the coming months. So if you're going to buy used, and that's typically what we recommend, even though there's some anomalies going on right now in the used car market as a result of what's happening in the new car market, I've got some tips and strategies that I'll share with you on specifically how you should think about approaching the purchase of a used car right now in this environment where prices are elevated. But first, let's head to the phones. Again, some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to begin today in South Dakota. Maria, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Good morning. Thanks. My first question is, I'm a widow and I have a 2 and 4-year-old, and they each receive survivor benefits from my late husband's Social Security.
Okay.
And so currently most of it just goes into a savings account where it fits.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to the program and I've looked into I-bonds. And so my question is, would moving it into an I-bonds account qualify as a government-backed bond that I could put their money in? And then if not, what other options would there be for that?
Yeah. Is this money you're going to need in the near term, Maria, just to cover, you know, basic living expenses and so forth, or are you really trying to sock this away for the future?
I was fortunate. I was raised by really frugal parents, so I really don't have any need for it. So I'm just going to put it away. It's just as a steward for them, what would be the best thing?
Yeah. And do you want to earmark it, Maria, for anything specific, like, for instance, college, or do you really want it to be more generally available?
My husband and I had started a 529 account. I don't know how much is in there now.
Okay.
But I don't know that college is always the best option.
Sure.
So we both went to school. We both got degrees, but would like to keep it more open for that.
Yeah, having some flexibility. I certainly recognize that. College makes sense for a lot of folks. For others, it doesn't. They may have, you know, something very specific they want to do and want to go get a trade degree or want to go seek another type of professional training for a specific job. Or God may call them into something else entirely. So I like the idea of flexibility. If you did want to continue on the college route at any point with even a portion of this, I like the 529 college savings plan, Maria. You may want to evaluate your current 529 against all of the others. The best website to do that is savingforcollege.com, and they'll actually factor in any tax benefits you'd get in your state. Plus, they'll look at the performance of your 529 college savings plan versus all of the others to see whether or not you might be better off to move it to another state's plan just based on the historical performance. So that's something to consider. To your question, though, I like the idea of the I-bonds. The way you would do that is you'd have to open an account for yourself first at treasurydirect.gov. You'll just look on the homepage for open an account. Now, once you do that, you'll see directions for setting up a linked account for a minor. And so that's possible to do. And you would actually make the same investment that you would for yourself or just for them if you chose to do that. The great part about it is, you know, we have a relatively short time horizon. You have to hold them for at least a year, and you'd enjoy this phenomenal rate of return, you know, while you're waiting for perhaps the market to recover. So I like that option. Now, that is not going to be as attractive long term. Right now, we're kind of in an unusual situation with what's going on with inflation. I expect our June reading at 9.1 was probably the peak. We'll begin to see that taper down. It's not going to happen quickly, so I would expect over the next year you'll still get a great rate of return. Longer term, if you want to keep this money, you know, more generally available beyond specifically college, rather than opening a custodial account, I'd probably just open an account in your name, perhaps one for each of the kids. And if you want to take a more long-term approach to it, at least 5 years, preferably 10, and do some systematic investments, I'd probably look at just building a stock portfolio that could grow over time in a taxable account in your name. And you may want to look at something like Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. This is a robo-advisor solution that's going to build a very low-cost, very widely diversified ETF strategy using indexes that just capture the broad moves of the market. If you wanted to choose some faith-based investment options and align the investments with your values as a believer, you could look at some of the fund families on our site, like Timothy Plan or Eventide or Praxis, even Inspire. There's some great fund families out there. But if you want to take more of just an indexed broad approach, that's where I would use the Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. But to come full circle, I do like the idea of the I-bonds, at least for the next year.
Okay. From my understanding, I don't know that I'm able to put Social Security money in the stock market. Is that...
You should have discretion over how it's used. I mean, I'm not aware of anything that would prohibit you from that. I can have our team look into that, and we can get back to you on that to make sure there's not something I'm missing there. But I'm not aware of any issues with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then my second question.
Sure.
I have a 2013 van that I just had the transmission rebuilt on. And so now I'm considering, like, this does seem to be a unique time, and it seems like vehicles from about 2019 and on are actually appreciating in value, which is, unheard of from my perspective.
Sure.
So I'm actually considering looking at maybe getting, like, a hybrid that would get around 50 miles to the gallon, and then just doing car payments for that. I could maybe pay for it all right, but I have a good credit score, and so I just was like, well, that might be a good option, and then I'd be under warranty. I wouldn't have to worry about repairs.
Yeah. Given that you just put all this money in and it's been rebuilt, do you have a sense of the condition of it now? I mean, would you expect it to run pretty well for the foreseeable future?
It should run for the foreseeable future. It's I think there's like 170,000 miles.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm thinking of is inflation that is happening. That's my main thought.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying. I guess, you know, just given the fact that what we're experiencing right now is a bit of an anomaly, I don't think I would make a new purchase decision with the expectation that it's going to appreciate. Normally, we lose 20% in the first, you know, per year in the first couple of years. What's going on in the used car market right now, I think, is temporary. So I wouldn't make a long-term buying decision based on that temporary trend. Let's finish up off the air. We'll be right back after this break on MoneyWise.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We started today by talking about the challenging car market that's going on right now. Coming up in the next segment, I'll share some used car buying strategies. That's right, we generally recommend buying used, a newer used car that's been checked out by an independent mechanic. This is an interesting season right now where new cars are elevated in price. And now the average new car is selling north of $40,000 today, and used cars are up 16% year over year. Is it still the right move to buy a used car? Probably so. I'll share some ideas and strategies on how you should be thinking about that in this challenging environment we find ourselves in. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever's on your mind today, the call is quick and simple. Our team will take good care of you and we'll get you right on the air. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Lynn. You're our next caller today, Lynn. You go right ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to call and thank you for your advice and wisdom. A couple years back, I had called and spoke to you on air about our family business, and you gave us some wonderful advice of what to do and not to do, and we followed it.
Awesome.
And then, yes, and we put up income to have in case of emergency, and within less than 6 months of talking with you, my husband had a massive stroke.
Oh,
and so his income stopped immediately.
Sure.
But we were grateful because we had 6 months of reserve to help pay the house note and utilities and take care of our children because we have minor children at home. You just never know what your journey is going to be.
Yes.
And had we not been listening to your radio station, had we not followed your advice, we would not have been prepared.
Mm.
Now, that's
wow.
Going on to say you can't rely on the government for everything. So disability didn't start right away, as most people know. And that's where God's brothers and sisters in Christ, they stepped up and followed the urging of God to do what he asked, which was to help us out. We had friends that helped us pay our house note after the 6 months of income. We had friends who helped provide food. So we never went out without anything. Everything was provided, and the Lord made sure of that. But it started because we had saved. And I just wanted to say how much we appreciate your advice and wisdom.
Oh, wow. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for that call and that testimony. You know, it's God's wisdom that comes right out of Scripture. Proverbs tells us there's precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise man's dwelling, but the foolish man swallows it up. And so when we apply that principle, that means we have margin. We have something for the unexpected. Certainly a massive stroke is the unexpected that led to his losing his income. You all were able to weather that. I love that you gave testimony to God's provision through through his people as they rallied around you. That's the way it should work as you apply God's wisdom and as God's people respond in a time of need. So that's incredible. Let me ask you, how's your husband doing?
He's had three strokes, congestive heart failure, and he now has MS. So with the dementia from the stroke and the MS, he's not going to recover, and we've already made peace with that. We know that one day he's going to have healing on the other side there of eternity. But for now, we just take every day as it comes. And yes, we're thankful we still have him, because the type of stroke he had, only 1% of every 100,000 strokes are his type of stroke.
Oh,
and
wow.
98% of those people don't survive. And the 2% who do typically are where they can't move. My husband has no paralysis. And other than the dementia from having three strokes, God really made a complete healing in him, and we are just completely grateful.
Wow, so that's incredible. Well, so delighted to hear from you today, Lynn. Would you mind if I pray for him before we wrap up?
No, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Father, thank you for this testimony today of your wisdom applied in this family's life and how you use that to allow them to weather this difficult season. And Lord, we just lift up Lynn's husband today. We're so thankful, Lord, that you saw fit to keep him here with his family. You are not through with him yet here. And so we just ask that you would continue to bring healing to his body, that you'd give them a vision for what you have for them in this season. Thank you for the testimony today of your faith and your provision and even your healing in his body. And we just ask that, Lord, if it be your will, you would bring even complete healing to his body. But we trust you today, and we tell you above all else, we're thankful for your son, Jesus. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And Lynn, thank you for calling so much today. What a joy to talk to you. To North Carolina we go. Terry, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Did you say Terry?
Terry, yes, ma'am. You go right ahead. My apologies.
Okay. That's okay. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have lost right much money out of my 401k, and I have like $21,000 left. And I was wondering if I should take that, just take all that out and pay off my car or put it toward my house payment. Put it toward my house. I owe like $40,000 on my house.
I see.
And $9,000 on my car.
Okay. So the 401k, Terry, you said is now down to $21,000. Where was it, let's say, at the beginning of the year, roughly? Do you know?
I lost about $10,000.
Okay. So you were at 30 and now you're at 20. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a good bit of money. I mean, that's you're down, it seems like, about 35%, which is well more than the market. Did you take any out during that period of time? Did you take any distributions?
I took some out last year to help my son buy a house.
Okay. And could that be part of the $10,000 that it's down?
No, I don't think so. Mm-mm.
Okay. Because I'd be surprised if it was down quite that much. The market's down about 20%. Nevertheless, are you retired at this point?
Yes, sir. I am retired. I'm 65. I am Bailey vested.
Okay. All right. I would probably, if the Lord gives you a conviction to just wipe out that debt and take it out, you certainly could do that. I think because of the taxes you would generate by taking all of that money out, plus where the market is right now, I would probably let it recover over the next year. And once it gets back up to the level it was, I think that might be the time to think about taking it out over a couple of years to pay down that mortgage. I've got to take a break, but you stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
This children's book has sold more than 3 million copies, and it's 15 years old. But its impact stretches far beyond the hearts and minds of children. Hear the story behind the Jesus Storybook Bible all week as we're joined by Sally Lloyd-Jones on a series called Jesus in Every Story.
Haven today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit AFR.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I was talking to Terry off the air, and here's where we landed. She's got some retirement accounts, a Roth. She's got a 401k. She's got some inheritance money that's invested. She's got a small mortgage that she'd like to pay off. But in the meantime, she's going to let these accounts recover over the next year or two. Her bills are covered. She can afford that mortgage. And then once she does, she'd like to go and get that paid off. And so she would probably do that out of the Roth money so that that is not a taxable event. Or if she did it with that 401k over two tax years, she would do that to minimize the tax burden as that money comes out. I love the idea of being completely debt-free in retirement. In fact, I would try to sync up the payoff of your home mortgage to your retirement or your expected retirement date, because that takes the largest expense in your family budget out of the equation, which gets your expenses as low as possible, which is helpful during retirement because that means less income is needed. And you get complete flexibility from being unencumbered. That's a great place to be. So if you can perhaps ask your mortgage company to run an amortization schedule to tell you what it would take for you to send extra every month so that you could align that payoff with your retirement date, I think you would be thrilled, and your future self will thank you. Let me say that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we go back to the phones quickly, we started today by talking about what's going on in the car market. The average new car payment hitting $712 a month. Why is that? Well, chip shortages, supply constraints because of the pandemic have led to a number of factors. And on top of that, we are experiencing the shutdown of the nation's largest aluminum smelting factory in June, and that's going to perhaps allow us to see continued increases in the car prices in the coming months, both new and used. So given these realities, now is not the time, if you don't have to purchase a vehicle. Still, you may not have the luxury of waiting to buy a car. Maybe you have a teenager who needs a safe vehicle at college, or perhaps you're your car was totaled in an accident, or maybe you, as the former host of this program, Howard Dayton, liked to say, you drove the car until the wheels fell off and it's just time to replace it because it's done. Well, here are a few used car buying strategies for those of you who have to buy a vehicle right now and don't want to go deep into debt. First of all, pray. You know, while buying a car might not seem all that spiritual, God cares about our needs, and buying a car is a matter of stewardship. So ask for guidance and trust the Lord to lead you in your car buying journey. As far as what to buy in this high price environment, well, we're not talking about your dream car for now. Instead, look for something that will last you at least until prices return to normal when we've made it through the supply chain disruptions and the current energy crisis, then you can trade it in if you wish. And that could mean you're actually looking for an older model car than I would typically recommend. Maybe you're looking for something 6 to 8 years old instead of 3 to 4 because you're not looking at such a long time horizon. You're just trying to weather the current environment. Higher mileage is fine. As long as the car has been very well cared for, you'll pay a bit less for a high mileage vehicle. Look for the best trim package you can afford because these cars often get better cared for. Always check the vehicle history at Carfax.com. Enter the vehicle's VIN number and it'll show you if it's been damaged in an accident or a flood, and you'll want to look for a vehicle that's been regularly maintained and preferably one that's had only one or two owners. That's what to buy. As far as how, it's really important to do your research before heading to a dealership. There is lots of information online at KBB.com, Edmunds.com, CarsDirect.com, AutoTrader.com. Find a vehicle that suits your needs and your budget, and you want to know its fair price on the front end. Now, once you know what you can afford and what it should cost, visit a few dealer websites to check their inventories. Don't go to a dealer in person without knowing exactly what you're looking for. This is the approach I've taken when I buy my cars. I know what I want. I know what I want to pay, and it's usually well below what most dealers are willing to offer for that used or new car. And then I spend usually up to a month just scouring the country. My last car was 4 states away. I flew up there, spent the night, bought it, and drove it home and saved about $5,000. So you want to go in well-equipped with information. Now, if you're buying from an individual, you want to meet at a safe, well-lit location and never go alone. Here in my county of Cobb County, Atlanta, The Cobb County Government Center actually has a place right in front where the police station is, right in front of it, that's well lit 24 hours a day. It's under 24-hour surveillance. That's a great place, and it's intended for buyers and sellers from Craigslist and other places like eBay to come together. Look for something like that. Never buy the first car you look at. Test drive more than one before you make your decision. Major dealerships will often certify their used cars, but consider having a trusted independent mechanic look at the car you choose. At the very least, you should be able to ask any major dealer to put the vehicle up on the rack so you can look underneath for rust or leaks. Check the model year for any recalls or consumer issues, and then once you've done your price research, located a car or truck, check its history and completed a mechanical check and test drive. Then you can make your offer. So if you're in a position where you have to buy a car, here's what I hope. I hope these strategies will help you find the right one and do it without breaking the budget. All right. I hope that was helpful. Hey, we've got some lines open today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Chrissy and Mark, we're coming your way. But first, Jan in Alabama. You go right ahead. Hey, Jan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Great.
I'm sorry, there was
no problem. Great to have you on the program. Go right ahead.
I am calling, obviously, about some investments, which to me, now, I'm a newbie at this because my husband always did in years past, and he has been gone now for almost 20 years, so I have not done any investing. And I have a small amount of money, enough, I think, and I'd just like some guidance and direction for me.
Okay, very good. How can I help?
Well, I have my income is stable, and I have no debts, and I have a savings account, and I'm interested in knowing which way to go as far as how can I increase it, how can I do it some good, be a good steward.
Yes, ma'am. Well, very good. Well, I'm delighted to hear you asking these questions. I'm thrilled to hear that you have some stable income. Is your income, Jan, enough to cover your expenses every month with perhaps a little bit left over?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. And how much do you have in savings?
Well, actually, I failed to tell the girl that I talked to, but I have about $13,500, actually a little bit over the five, in my savings account. But I also have some money with an advisor. I have a financial advisor, which I have had ever since my husband passed away.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not really sure. I just actually failed to check out. Actually, I just forgot about it. So I know there are some funds there.
Okay.
I just don't know how much.
Okay, very good. So you've got the money with the advisor, and is the money you're looking to put to work the $13,500?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And hopefully any other that I can put with it, but that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Okay, let's do this. I hate to ask you to hold, but I've got to hit a break. But when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on how we should move forward from here. Think about that $13,500 and the money that's with the advisor. We'll return after this break on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're so glad you're along with us today as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Just before the break, we had the privilege of talking to Jan in Alabama. She's 90 years old, retired. She is a widow living on a fixed income that covers her expenses. She's got some money invested with an advisor and about $13,000 in savings. She's relatively new to investing, but wanting to be a good steward, and we certainly appreciate that, Jan. My first thought is, you know, I'd like for you to have probably at this season of life 6 months' expenses in liquid savings. And so with you having, you know, expenses of $3,400 a month, I mean, that would be $20,400, you know, at the very least 3 months' expenses, which is $10,000. So that $13,000 you have, Jan, is really kind of right in the middle there. So if it were me, I don't think I would be looking to invest that. I would keep that in a liquid savings account that's safe and secure. I'd probably use one of the online banks linked to your checking account, wherever you bank, perhaps locally. And if you're comfortable doing business online, opening a savings account at like Alabama Ally Bank or Marcus or Capital One 360. Those savings accounts are free. There's no cost to them. And they're going to pay much better than your typical interest rate on a savings account at a brick and mortar bank. So they're paying nearly 1% a year. Now, that's not a whole lot of money on $13,500. We're talking $135 a year, but it's something, right? And it's safe and protected. So I think that would probably be the way that I would go. I'd sit on that, and then I'd contact your advisor to get a better understanding of what's happening with the assets that are under management. The only other option I might throw out, if you said, you know what, I'm comfortable, you know, investing a portion of this, you could put up to $10,000 in what are called I-bonds, inflation bonds with the U.S. government. You do that at treasurydirect.gov. And the great thing, Jan, is that they're paying 9.6% right now, and there's no risk because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You've got to hold them for at least a year, but you'd enjoy that great rate of return on up to $10,000. So that would be one option to consider where you have, you know, this is an unusual time where you can have pretty much ultimate safety, but get a really great rate of return. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. And one correction, please. My yes. income is $3,400 and some over, but my monthly is not $3,400. No,
okay.
As far as outgo. My okay. outgo, no, it's about less than $3,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say it was $2,500 at 6 months of expenses. That's still $15,000. You know, so I think I'd love for you to be able to hang on to a good portion of that and just have it for the unexpected. Because if it's invested and then you have to sell it because something comes out of left field that you didn't anticipate, medical or housing related or something like that, I just don't want you to have to rely on a credit card or to sell an investment that, you know, is temporarily down, you know, where you've lost value. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. I truly feel blessed. I feel like I'm in maybe a unique situation because I have no debt, and I've always made sure that the debt was paid down, so I have no debt, I have no
yes,
car,
ma'am.
I have no house, I just pay rent.
Okay, all right,
so I
yeah.
really have no, I have no bills each month. I have
sure,
my income
sure.
and then my rent.
Yeah, and then you have a good bit of margin because on, you know, if you're only spending $2,500 of the $3,400, you're putting something away every month. Well, I think for that reason, you may want to look at the I-bonds then because you could get a great rate of return. Again, you'd have to be willing to leave it there for a year, but to be able to get 9.6% on $10,000 was a great option for you. So if you're comfortable online or if not, get a friend or family member to help you. Just go to treasurydirect.gov. That's the U.S. Treasury. Website, click on the I-bonds, you'll open an account, and then you'll transfer the money in electronically to buy the electronic bonds, and I think that could be a great option for you, okay?
Okay, and is that a $10,000 minimum deposit?
Maximum. That's the most you can put in a calendar year. You can
okay,
put in
all right.
up to $10,000.
Okay. That's good, yeah.
Yes,
ma'am. That's fine either way, yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate
welcome.
It. I listen
all
to
right.
you every week.
Oh, you're very sweet. Well, thank you for your call today. If we can help you along the way, don't hesitate to reach out again. Let's head to Arkansas. Chrissy, thank you for your patience. You go right ahead. Hi, Chrissy. Are you with us?
I am. How are you?
Great. I'm doing well. Thanks for your call.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. You go right ahead.
I have a Ford 2015 Ford, and it broke down about 3 weeks ago, a little over 3 weeks ago. And I, my husband was doing some digging and found out that there's a recall on it, and the part that was recalled actually got a recall on it. Hmm. And when I got a hold of the Ford dealership, they do not know when they're going to get the part, and so they are not able to help me. They can't give me a loaner. They can rent me one if I wanted to pay for renting, or
sure.
I could buy another car, which they would be glad to do. So I don't know if I should take the car back to them, if I should get a different car. My husband was able to find a part online and he ordered it and then put it in. And so now I am running. So I'm not sure what I need to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear you have a husband who's fairly handy, because it sounds like he did a great job. Have you contacted Ford's service line for your region just to speak to somebody from the Ford Motor Company about this particular issue?
Only the dealership. I have not talked to actual Ford.
I might contact Ford at Ford.com. You can contact them through a real-time chat, or you can call the toll-free number here in the U.S. Just to get the information and perhaps talk to them about this specific recall. They may be able to point you to another dealership or give you some additional information. So I'd probably do that and then maybe check with another dealer or two in your area just to see if you can get some further assistance, given that this was a recall issue. But I'd probably start at Ford.com, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
All right. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your call today. Let's head to New Mexico. Mark, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead. Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Go right ahead. You're on MoneyWise.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I have a question about bankruptcy and how that affects in biblical terms and what it is and how it affects people.
Yes. Well, you won't find bankruptcy in the Bible, Mark. It's a modern legal term that we've created. And what we know is that we need to honor our obligations. But we also realize there are certain seasons and certain situations, either because of choices we've made or because of situations out of our control, that we may be forced into bankruptcy. So I don't think bankruptcy is a sin. But what we need to do is make an absolute commitment to repay to the extent we can, even if we have to pursue bankruptcy to help with legal protection. So you really need to get some wise counsel in this situation. I would probably try to find a bankruptcy attorney. I'd try to start at your local church to see if there's a bankruptcy attorney in the church that they could recommend. I'd love for you to go to a godly attorney who understands the counsel of Scripture and shares your faith, who can navigate this with you legally. You could also contact a certified kingdom advisor there in New Mexico and ask for a referral to a bankruptcy attorney. But I would start there. I think, again, the big idea is we certainly want to try to honor our obligations, and if you have the ability to do so, the Bible's clear, you need to do it, even if that means you set up a payment plan and it takes a long time. So I wouldn't run from your creditors. I'd lean into this and really try to work out a plan that through your diligent work and the income the Lord provides, that you could at least start making some progress. But if you're forced into bankruptcy, I wouldn't see that as necessarily anything wrong biblically. But even on the other side of it, even if the debts are discharged, I would be looking at trying to make restitution. And that's not going to be easy to do, because once those are discharged, they're going to say, well, we can't even take the payment. But I could tell you story after story of people that have actually really made progress toward paying off their debts even after a bankruptcy. So it is possible. So I would get some wise counsel and understand the implications of what is going on here. But then I would proceed based on the counsel that you get. We appreciate you checking in with us today, Mark. God bless you. Sharon in Texas, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes. My question is that I have, it's my bonds. I have about $18,500 in savings, but I'm retired. I've been retired for 5 years. I'm 72. I own my home. I own my car. I have absolutely no credit card debt.
Great.
I have about $11,500 in an IRA with a broker. Okay. I have about $5,500 in cash with that broker, and I have $72,000 in an annuity.
Okay.
Now, I have not really lost any money. I moved off all of my gain before the market kind of started down.
Okay.
So I'm still up about 4%.
Great.
Okay, now my question is of that $18,000, would it be okay if I moved, you think, if I took about $2,000, maybe $3,000 of that out of just my savings account and put that into I-bonds?
Yeah, I like that plan, Sharon. You've been a great steward. I love that you know exactly where you're at, that you're debt-free, that you've got some margin, you've got some investments, your expenses are covered. So I think that would be a great option for you. You do that at treasurydirect.gov. Just click on the I-bonds link and just realize that that portion that you lock up is going to be in there for at least 12 months. But I like the plan. I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I'm in agreement. Thanks for your call today. We're so thankful for you joining us today. It's a privilege to come alongside you each day and mine the scriptures and apply it to your decisions and choices financially. Thank you to Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Thank you for being here as well. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.